Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I believe we're going to look back on the 40 days of prayer that we just finished, and I think we're going to see that as one of the most significant times in the life of our church. I think there are probably a number of reasons for that. One is that because of the season that we are living in, many of us are just more tender-hearted toward the Lord. And just to put it in another way, many of us are just more broken than we have been, or we are more aware of our brokenness than we have been. And it is brokenness that God can speak into, and it is brokenness that God can move into, and He can heal, and He can help, and He can bless. And so I think that our brokenness has made us more dependent and more aware of the Lord, and that is always a good thing. And I can see some of the really good work that God has done in you over these last 40 days. But I want to carry that on into our life as a church. I want to carry that into the new year. And so today, during my sermon, I'd like to cast just a little bit of vision for the year 2021. And here's the reason I say just a little bit of vision. We need vision no matter what time of life we're living in. People perish without vision, the Bible says. But I say a little bit of vision because, as I've said to you on several occasions recently, I have become more aware than ever in my ministry that my plans really don't mean much. But the Lord's plans always mean much. And He has plans for us. And He has good in store for us, even in places of brokenness and places of humility. And so I just want to share some ways that we can continue to humble ourselves, that we can continue to pray, that we can continue to seek God's face, that we can continue to turn from our wicked ways in 2021. And so I'm going to ask you this morning to think about these things as we worship and as we spend some time in the Word. Do you desire a deeper and a more intimate relationship with God? Do you want to break free of some bondage that you're in? Some self-defeating habits that have a hold in your life? Are you ready to find healing so that you can help heal other people? Are you ready to be free of some addictions that entangle you and keep you tied down? Do you desire a greater awareness of God's will, God's call, God's plan in your life? Are you ready to be in a place and put yourself in a position that you are filled with the Spirit of God so that you can clearly hear what He is saying? And if any of those are things that you would say yes to, then perhaps it is time that we fast. Now, here's how smart I am. I'm going to talk about fasting the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But I think there's a lot that the Lord has to say to us about that. It's something that we have begun to take more seriously in the life of our church over the last year than we have done before. And I think it's time that we begin to take it more seriously, because as I have studied about fasting, if I have read more in Scripture about fasting, it has become very, very clear to me that the Bible holds it up as a practice that is absolutely vital for people who are seeking God and who are following Jesus Christ. And that it's something that as a church and as individuals, we need to make a routine part of our spiritual life. And when we don't, it's to our loss. And so I am thankful that we are learning and that we are growing in this spiritual discipline of fasting. We had a group commit to pray and to fast on the first day of every month during this year 2020. And for most of us, that was something new, something we didn't have much experience in, that we had not done regularly. And we're learning and we're growing in it. And the best way I know to learn and grow in something is to keep doing it. And so this morning, I want to go back and look at some scripture on fasting. I want to give you some resources that will be really helpful to you, that will give you some specifics about fasting. I want to give you a little bit of a plan for what might be in the year 2021 and ask you to pray about how you can participate in that. And so I thank you for being here, for participating, for seeking the Lord this morning, and God bless you. Well, a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night during our 40 days of prayer, I spoke about a topic called how to pray for a breakthrough. And so I want to follow up a little bit on that this morning as we move into some prayer and fasting material from Scripture. But because one of the things that I think we all want is a breakthrough. For God to break through some things, to break through into some things. For God to change some things, to make some things new. By definition, a breakthrough is a sudden and dramatic and important advance. That's what a breakthrough is. And there can be a breakthrough in all kinds of things. Science has breakthroughs. And it's something that we didn't see all the work that came before, but it seems sudden and it is important and it's an advance. Medicine has breakthroughs, and we're thankful for those breakthroughs in science and in medicine. Technology has breakthroughs, and everything changes for us and how we operate. A breakthrough occurs when you have been stuck, when you have been stalled, when you have not been able to move forward, and then suddenly there's breakthrough and God intervenes in a way that makes things happen and makes things advance. And you can have breakthroughs in your marriage, and you can have breakthroughs with your kids, and you can have breakthroughs in your relationships, in your career, in your finances, in your health, in a decision you're trying to make or a dilemma that you're in. You can have spiritual breakthroughs. Breakthroughs where God intervenes in a dramatic and an important and in a sudden way, and you advance out of some habits and some hang-ups and some hurts that have been holding you back, or you have a breakthrough in your battle with addiction, or a breakthrough in a battle with a sin that you've just had for decades and years. You could have a breakthrough in the way that you understand something spiritually. You can have a breakthrough in a way that you have really been wanting to grow in Christ or change in Christ. So I think many of us have experienced some breakthroughs in our prayer life, in the way that we communicate with God over the last 40 days. And so breakthrough is something that we look for God to do. It's something that God can do. And I would say to you that if you are going through some pain right now, that God may be using that to get you ready for a breakthrough. And I would say to some of you who are confused about things right now, that God may be working in that to get you ready for a breakthrough. I would say to some of you who are really feeling overwhelmed right now, that God just may be working in that in such a way that He is getting you ready for a breakthrough. I would say to some of you who feel outnumbered right now, that God is working in that to get you ready for a breakthrough. And what I learned from Scripture is that although breakthroughs are something God does, that it's something that we seek. And that breakthroughs don't usually happen. Now, I'm not limiting God. He can and He will do anything He wants to do. But from what I see in Scripture, breakthroughs happen when we look for them, when we seek them, when we ask God for them, when we do some things in our life, just like we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks from 2 Chronicles. When we seek God, when we turn from wicked ways, when we pray, when we humble ourselves, we're putting ourselves in a place where we are seeking God for a breakthrough. And one of the primary ways I see in Scripture for us to position ourselves in such a way that we're seeking God for a breakthrough, for a change, for better things, for victory. One of the primary ways I see that people of God do that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is that they do it through prayer and through fasting. And so I just want us to do a little review of several stories from Scripture, stories of people who lived a long time ago, but who God has inspired their stories so that they are there for us to learn from. They are there for us to be encouraged by. And the first one is a story in David's life, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. I just want to work through it real quickly. When the Philistines learned that David had been made king of Israel, they mobilized all of their forces against him to attack and enslave him. So David's got this great victory moment in his life. He has now become the king of Israel, what God had said was going to happen years and years ago. And David had patiently followed the Lord in good times and some really horrible times. And now the good moment has come, and David is king of Israel, but he has enemies, and his enemies immediately target him. And they want to take him down. And they want to attack him, and they want to enslave him. And I think one of the ways that we can interpret and look at Old Testament stories is to know that just as David had a physical enemy, and we have physical enemies, but I think the New Testament teaches us that our real enemy is in the spirit world. Our real enemy is Satan and those who are at work with him in the spiritual realms. And I think that we all have an enemy, and we have enemies who want to do this to us. They attack us, and they want to enslave us. And you may be feeling that. You may have that sense right now that you are under attack by the enemy. Let's keep reading and see what David did and what we can do. But David heard the news, and he moved to a fortified place. And I want to ask you this morning, where's your fortified place? See, David knew when he was under attack, there was a place he could go. And it was a fortified place. It was a place of safety, a place of shelter, a place where he was protected. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a fortified place to go, especially to those of you who are participating with us online? I love that we have that technology, but I need to ask you, do you have a fortified place that you can go when you need help, when you're under attack? And I hope, and I offer to all of you, that this church could be a fortified place for you. I love a row of college students. And I want you to know that this church is a fortified place for you. And for anyone who is hurting, who needs help, we want to be that place. And it's not in our own strength, but it's in God's strength. And it's because he's helped us that we want to help others. And so David found a fortified place, and you need a fortified place. And then let's keep reading. Then the Philistine army moved in and spread out across the entire valley. They hemmed him in. He had nowhere to go. So what does he do? David sought the Lord in prayer. And he asked, very specifically, and these are some things we learned in our 40 days. We need to ask God specifically. He wants us to ask. David said, should I go out and fight these Philistines? Will you give them over to me? And again, I say to you what we've been learning for the last 40 days. You can go to God in prayer and ask for help. And he will hear. The God of heaven hears the prayers of his saints on earth. And the Lord replied, yes, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory. So David went out and defeated them. And then David said, I watched the Lord break through. I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. It was sudden, and it was dramatic, and it was important, and it was like a flood had come through and God had broken through. And I love this. So David named the place, the Lord broke through. How many of you would love to live in a place in your life that you could just mark it and name it, the Lord broke through right here? And you have those places in your life. If you've been following God, you have those places in your life. And the Old Testament teaches us to mark them and remember them. So I hope you can name your places. And I hope you can go back to those and remember those as you seek God in prayer. And we look to Him to break through in some areas in our individual lives, in the life of our church and our nation. But Lord, broke through. That's what I want to happen for us and for you in 2021. And by the way, I am so glad to be saying 2021. I want us to be able in that new year to name some places the Lord broke through. I want it for you personally. I want it for our church. I want it for the kingdom of God that the Lord broke through. Let's look at another king. And Greg taught about Jehoshaphat one Wednesday night. We're going to read out of 1 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat was a king who honored God. But even those who honor God have some really tough tests and trials they have to go through. And so one day, three armies joined forces against Judah. And a messenger told the king, "A vast army is coming against you." Alarmed and afraid, King Jehoshaphat did what? He resolved to seek the Lord. And I like that Scripture uses the phrase that it does there. Because it says Jehoshaphat was what? He was alarmed and he was afraid. He was a man of God. He was a king of God's people, and he was alarmed and he was afraid. And I want to say to you that it is okay and it is natural for that to be our first reaction when we are up against something that is bigger than us and that is against us. A natural reaction is to be alarmed and afraid. But here's what I also want to say to you that we're going to see from Jehoshaphat and that we have to put into practice in our life. That is not where God's people stay. We don't stay alarmed and afraid. And how do we not stay alarmed and afraid? We seek the Lord. And see, what we do when we seek the Lord is that we are taking our eyes and our attention and our efforts and our feelings and our emotions. We're taking all those and we are taking them away from the enemy, away from the thing that is bigger than us, away from the thing that is against us. And we are turning our eyes onto God. We are turning our attention onto God. We are seeking God. And what we will find every single time, and I promise you that I can say without a doubt, every single time when you turn your eyes away from the problem and onto God, the problem will seem smaller because everything is smaller when it is compared to Almighty God. So it's okay, folks, to be alarmed and afraid, but don't stay there. Seek the Lord. And then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. So all the people came together to seek help from the Lord. And they came from everywhere to seek God. Why a fast? Why did Jehoshaphat proclaim a fast? A fast is a way for us to show God we are really serious about seeking Him. On just some basic level, that's what a fast is. A fast is a way for us to show God that we really mean this. We are serious about this. That we are actually willing to give up some things that give us a lot of pleasure. We are willing to give up some things that are just part of our daily routine. We are willing to give up some things that we actually need for our substance and survival. For a short time, we're willing to give them up because God is that much more important to us. That's what a fast is. That I'm willing to give these things up so that with even more of myself, I can seek the Lord. And so, and again, in 2021, we're going to proclaim some days of fasting for our church. We're going to continue the pattern we started last year in the first day of each month, because it's a day that, I mean, we can remember that. The first day of each month, we're going to set aside as a day of fasting for our church. so that we can let God know we're serious about this, that we really do need him, that we seek him, that with all of our heart, we're willing to give up some things for even just a short time so that even more of ourselves can be devoted to seeking God. So we see Jehoshaphat doing three things that we all need to do when we seek the Lord for breakthrough in 2021. He resolved to seek the Lord. He fasted and he prayed. Every one of us can do those things. And when we do them, we will be doing them toward and in honor of the same God that Jehoshaphat did them toward, the same God that David did them toward. I love the way this story ends. Again, very similar to the previous story, because God intervenes. God dramatically, suddenly breaks through. The army of the Israelites never even left the city of Jerusalem. God said, "You stay here, I will take care of this." And God stirred up those three armies that had combined against Jerusalem. He stirred them up against themselves. They ended up defeating themselves. And the Israelites opened the gates. They went out into the valley. And for 3 days, they collected the plunder of the enemy and brought it in to Jerusalem and into the temple of God. And they named that place the Valley of Blessing. So we've got the Valley of Breakthrough, and we've got the Valley of Blessing. And I'm hoping and praying and seeking that the Lord will give us some valleys of breakthrough and some valleys of blessing in 2021. I want us to look at another example from Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was among the first wave of people that the Babylonians forced to leave Jerusalem. And so he is in exile. He has been forced out of his home city, his home country. He is in exile thousands of miles away from everything he has known. The smells are different. The foods are different. Everything is different. Nothing is like he has known it. Daniel's world has been turned upside down. And I think we can relate to Daniel. That things just seem upside down. That they're not the way they had always been. There might be, we're doing some familiar things, but we're having to do them in very different ways. It's disorienting. It's confusing. It makes us wonder what the future is going to look like, what the future holds for us. Those are things Daniel was wondering. Those are things we are wondering. And God showed his favor to Daniel, and he blessed him, and he gave him some visions that could be recorded and that are recorded in Scripture about what was going to happen in the future. And here I want to just take it aside and say for a minute, a lot of us would really like to know what's going to happen in the future. What it's going to look like. But one of the things I know from reading history, and one of the things I know from reading this passage, is we may not really always want to know what the future looks like. Our feeble minds can really only handle the present. And that's why God says to us, you know, don't worry about what's come before, and don't even really worry that much about what's going to happen ahead, because you don't know. We're just a mist, and we're not even promised tomorrow. So let's just keep our attention on today. And I think God says that to us because that's really basically all we can handle. Daniel gets this vision, and it is more than he can handle. Daniel 8:27 says that I became very weak. This is after God had showed him some things about the future. I became very weak. I was sick for several days after that vision. But I got up and I went to work for the king. But I was very upset about the vision, and I did not understand what it meant. Daniel's unsettled. The future is unsettling. It takes its toll on him. He's weak. He's sick. He's upset. He kept doing what he needed to do, but his heart wasn't in it. And that may sound familiar to some of you. So what does Daniel do? Chapter 9. During his first year as king, I was studying the scriptures and noticed in the Lord's message to Jeremiah that 70 years would pass before Jerusalem would be rebuilt. And then I turned to the Lord. I prayed to him, asked him for help, and I did not eat any food. Daniel did the same thing Jehoshaphat did. He sought the Lord, he prayed, and he fasted. When Daniel was upset, when Daniel was unsettled, when he was tired, when he was weary, when he was unsure, he did those three things. He sought the Lord, he prayed, and he fasted. And again, fasting was a way for Daniel to show God, I'm really serious about this. I need help. I need understanding. I need to know how to proceed. I need to know what to do. He was serious about it, and he showed God that seriousness by turning his face away from things of the flesh and toward things of the Spirit. And that's what fasting allows us to do. When we give something up for a short period of time, especially when we give up food for a short period of time, we are turning away from our flesh and we're turning to our spirit. And we are saying, for this period of time, I'm not going to feed my flesh because I want to feed my spirit. And it allows us to commune with God. It allows us to hear God. It allows us to walk in the Spirit, like Galatians 5 says. It allows us to hear from the Spirit, like 1 Corinthians 2 says. And so fasting is a way to say, for this short time, I'm seeking God and I mean it. And I want to put away things of the flesh and I want to pick up things of the Spirit. And it's not a way to manipulate God. We couldn't manipulate God anyway, but we might try. But it's not a way to manipulate God. It's a way to humble ourselves and put ourselves in a position to hear from God, to draw near to God. Fasting is a way to prepare yourself for the work of the kingdom. Jesus told his disciples in one place when there was a work of the kingdom that needed to be done and they could not do it. And he had to step in and he said to them, this can only happen when you've been fasting and praying. There's some things that we need to do in this world. There's some things we need to do with our neighbors, in our schools, in our communities. There's some things we need to do at work. There's some things we need to do with people in our family. They are kingdom things that need to be done, and we are unable to do them. And Jesus told his disciples, there are just some things you're going to need to do that you're going to have to fast and pray about first. It's one of the reasons I think we've got to be taking this seriously. And fasting and prayer always go hand in hand. And just as a reminder of that, take some time later and keep reading in chapter 9 of Daniel as he prays. It's a prayer that is worth praying today. And so in 2021, we're going to fast and we're going to pray on the first day of each month so that we as a church can show God we're serious about this. We really need you, God. We are seeking you. We need your help. We need you to intervene. We need you to break through. And we mean it. And we're willing to give some things up so that with our whole heart and mind and being, we can seek God. So that we can position ourselves in humility. Fasting's a humble thing. We can position ourselves in humility to be near God. So that we can prepare ourselves to do the work that God needs us to do and that we are unable to do in our own strength. So that we can better understand what God is doing and what He wants us to do. And last year when we did this, we had a different subject every month. And that, we need to spend every month focusing and praying and seeking God about the same thing. Really, two things. One is for us as a church, and then one is for you as a person. So one thing I'm going to give you to fast and pray about, and the other I want you to decide what it is that you need to fast and pray about, where we need a breakthrough and where you need a breakthrough. And so I have spent some time fasting and praying. I've spent some time intentionally seeking the Lord about this. And He answered. And after I had done that for really several weeks, I came to Ezekiel chapter 37. And I think there's something there that the Lord wants us to seek Him in. Ezekiel is like Daniel. He's in exile. He's in Babylon. He's experiencing the same kind of things Daniel is experiencing. He's a prophet who is receiving some very specific, disturbing visions that he's supposed to give to God's people. But one of those visions in Ezekiel chapter 37 is this valley of dry bones. Can you just picture just a valley, and it is full of dead, dry bones. I mean, just full of them, the way the vision makes it seem. And God, in that vision, spoke life into those bones. And as God spoke life into those bones, the scripture is very specific. It says that tendons and muscles and flesh formed on those bones, but they're still laying there now. They're laying there, but they're fleshed out. And then it says that God spoke, and he spoke the breath of life, just like he did back in Genesis chapter 1. He spoke the breath of life, and all those bones just stood up, and they were alive, and they were ready to do God's work and God's will. That's the vision that Ezekiel got. And the dry bones represent God's people, specifically in that sense. There's a specific way that it represented, but I think it does for us today as well. It represented God's people. In verse 11, it says that God's people are saying, our bones have dried up and our hope is gone. And there have been times in this last year that I will say to you, I have felt like my bones have dried up and my hope is gone. But Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14 says, we find a promise there. And I believe it is what God is leading us to pray. As I sought and fasted, this is what I came to. Because in Ezekiel 37:14, God says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will come to life again. That's what God said to his people. I will put my spirit in you, and you will come to life again. And then you will know that I am the Lord. And that's what I want us to fast and pray about in 2021. See, I've learned I had all kinds of plans, specific plans. I've told you those have come to nothing. So I don't want to ask God to do some things I want him to do. I want to ask God to do some things he wants to do. And so it's a little generic, but God will answer it however he wants to answer it. I want to ask God. I want us to ask God. I want us to seek him in fasting and prayer in 2021 on the first day of every month to fill us with his spirit. And to breathe life into us. Why? Not so we'll be bigger. Not so I'll feel better about church. We could go down the list of reasons that would be good if that happened. But the reason we want it to happen is one reason and one reason only. So that we will know that he is the Lord. And so that the people around us will know that he is the Lord. He is the one doing this thing. Filling us with his spirit, breathing life into us. So we're going to pray that for our church. That's going to be our communal prayer. But I also want you to seek God on a personal level. And over the next few weeks, what I hope you will do is really seek the Lord and know your own heart and your own mind. Where is it you need God to break through? What is it you needed him to do in your life, in your family, in your work? In some sin that you're struggling with, in some understanding that you need. Where is it that you need God to break through? I asked you some questions earlier. I'll ask you again. Where is it that you need a deeper and more intimate relationship with God? What are some of those bondages and self-defeating habits that they just got you tied up and you need God to break through? Where is it that you need some healing? You need God to intervene so that you can start helping other people. Where is it that you need God to just heal you of some addictions that are holding you back? Where is it that you need just a greater awareness of what God is doing in your life, what he's calling you to do and to be? Where is it that you are you at a place where you're just ready? God, I want you to fill me with your spirit. I want to do the things you want me to do. I want to do them in your power. I want to understand what you need from me. Is there a relationship that you really need to be healed? Do you need God to break through? there a decision that you are making? Whatever it is, I hope that you will spend some time and be ready as we go to January 1st that we can pray about this thing for our church, but you can also pray for this thing for you. That you need God to break through. And if you do, I hope that you will participate. I hope you will join us on the first day of every month as we seek God in prayer and in fasting. And we'll do it the way God's people have always done it. The way David did it, the way Jehoshaphat did it, the way Daniel did it. We didn't even get to the New Testament the way Jesus did it. Even Jesus fasted and prayed. And his disciples learned that from him, and they did it. And they taught it to the early church, and we see where the early church did it. And it's something that today's church needs to do. And I'm thankful that God's put us in a place where we're realizing some of this. To seek God in prayer and fasting. After Thanksgiving, I'll be a little more specific about this. We'll give you some ways to sign up, for lack of a better word. Really just to, it's a little bit of accountability covenant so that there'll be some other folks know that you've decided, I want to do this, and we can help hold each other accountable. I'll give you some things that you'll have to know how to pray out of Ezekiel 37. You'll be able to add to that the way that you specifically want to pray. We'll share some resources on our webpage. I came across an incredibly helpful video this week that just, better than anything I've ever seen, just practically describes what fasting is, what it looks like, how you do it. There's lots of different ways that you can do it. We'll share that with you. And then I'm just going to mention this real briefly. We'll talk about this a whole lot more. But I'm really excited about something we're going to do in March together. And it's going to connect our prayer and fasting with still what I believe we're called to do, and that's to be disciples who are making disciples. We're going to do something we're calling Awaken Wichita Falls. And we're going to take the 30 days before Easter, so basically the month of March, and we're going to have some resources to help you do this, but we're going to ask you to pick 8 people or 8 families that are in your circle of influence. And again, there's some ways that will help you figure out who those 8 people are. And for 30 days as a church, we're going to pray and we're going to fast for those people. And seek the Lord that he would save them. And he would bring them into a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And that they would become devoted disciples and followers of Jesus. We'll talk about that a lot more when the time comes. I'm excited about 2021. I'm excited about the Lord breaking through in your life. I'm praying that there will be some places that you will rename. The Lord broke through. That you will rename the Valley of Blessing.